This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Everything that happened to want us to take a close look at two powerful lines from the Bible. They come from two devastatingly honest but different poets. These are men who have drunk deeply from the wellsprings of life and know the quickening candor and the openness of the human heart at that painful and personal moment when it feels like God has abandoned us. They feel alone and empty because God is silent. The first passage I want you to look at is Psalm 10 and 1. Psalm 10 and 1. And it reads, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" And then the second passage I want you to look at is Psalm 83 and 1. Psalm 83 and 1. And it reads, "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God." Let us pray. Father, I ask now that you would bless us, God, through your word. We thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And God, we pray that you will speak into our hearts and our minds and remind us once again that you're God and God all by yourself. We thank you for these blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. As you take your seats in the presence of the Lord, I want to ask you to think with us this morning in terms of a subject: the King has another move. Amen. Say that with us. The King has another move. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, ushers. Let's give our choir another hand. Awesome job. Both our youth and our adult choirs, thank y'all so much for your faithfulness. Have you ever felt abandoned by God? Did you know, my brothers and sisters, that sometimes God is silent? When we desperately need a word from the Lord, sometimes God is silent. When we need an answer from the throne of grace, sometimes God is silent. When we need a message of mercy for our messed up set of circumstances, sometimes God is silent. Vicki Winans had a song. She said, "We don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the sea. What we need is a single word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above." But sometimes, my brothers and sisters, God is silent. As a matter of fact, you who study the Bible closely, you know that for some 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, God said not a word. Have any of you ever been there? If you haven't, just keep on living. And sooner or later, it will happen to you. As much as our modern name it and claim it religion hates to admit it, Scripture says there are those times when God is silent. As much as this goes against the grain of our American understanding of prosperity, and as much as it goes against our treating God as some kind of a cosmic bellhop, the Scriptures say there are those times when God is silent. Yes, God reveals himself. He makes himself known to us. But I need you to understand that he also conceals himself. Don't you hear Isaiah saying in Isaiah 45 and 15, "Truly, you are a God who hides himself"? But there is as much of God's nature revealed in the concealing as there is in the revealing. In fact, the attentive Christian learns that during those silent times, God is doing some revealing in his concealing. That's because, my brothers and sisters, God is both immanent and transcendent. He is both revealed and concealed. Who among us could stand to be exposed to all of God at once? Y'all know, don't you, that our finite minds cannot comprehend his grace, amen, in its totality. With all of our Bible knowledge and prayerful communication, I'm convinced that it's best for God to sometimes teach us through silence. He's teaching us sometimes through silence. I really didn't know that my sister Brenda was going to be here today, and I hope she doesn't mind me sharing that her firstborn child, Anthony, just a wonderful little kid. Anthony, when he was a child, was diagnosed with cancer. And Anthony, when before we knew he had cancer, he was like any other boy, any other young kid. He would run about and play and get in trouble. And many times we would say, sit down, boy, and be still, amen, and be quiet. But little did we know that cancer was brewing in his body. He had a cancer called neuroblastoma, and the tumor grew so large that it pressed against his spine up until the point where he was no longer able to walk. Little Anthony, amen. And I never will forget one Sunday after church there at my mother's house. I was playing the piano, and little Anthony was behind me, and again, he couldn't walk. And I was so into the song, just prayerfully singing. And before I knew it, I felt something tap me on the back. And Anthony had pulled his way up to me at that piano. He tapped me on my back, and he said, Uncle Jesus is going to heal me, isn't he? Amen. And with tears in my eyes, I said, we pray that that is his will. I never will forget one summer. I had the privilege of staying with him over in Houston at Ronald McDonald House. He was getting his chemotherapy and radiation treatments at MD Anderson and Texas Children's. And there at the Ronald McDonald House, I would take him out sometimes to play. And I never will forget one day watching other children run about and play. Amen. I questioned God. I said, God, how is it that my nephew is sick and getting worse, and you're silent? But I've come by this Sunday morning to tell you that sometimes God teaches us in the silence. Children in many parts of the world, particularly this morning in Gaza, amen, watching them be bombed and bombs dropping and homes destroyed and hunger is prevailing because they can't get sustenance. I'm talking about children, amen, that are dying. Many of our children complain about having to get up and go to school. And there are children in Gaza who wish they had a school to go to. There are children in parts of Africa and other parts of the world who wish they had a home to go home to. Amen. Amen. And it seems sometimes that God is silent. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his life for the cause of a more humane and just society, and a reordering of our economic priority in a society gone insane with self-interest. And here we are many years later, and those same issues still stare us in the face, while the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, and sinking into the despair of lost hope. What can we learn from God in these moments of silence? Well, the first lesson I want to submit to you this morning that I learned, and hopefully you will learn through God's silence, is the lesson of patience. Tell your neighbor, you're going to need patience. Amen. Amen. It's frustrating to want answers to life's most difficult questions and hear no word from the Lord. It's frustrating to get knocked down like Job, to get strung up like Jesus, to get picked on like Elijah and messed over like Paul and have to deal with God's silence. It's frustrating to expect God's help and instead to only get a holy hush. It's frustrating to expect solace and instead get silence. It's frustrating to want an explanation and to be left alone to figure life out for yourself. But that's what often happens, my brothers and sisters. We are left to piece together our own timeline for rescue from the sinking ship. we find ourselves sailing in. We try to figure out what we're going through and why we're going through it. And at the same time, we ask ourselves, where is God? Maybe I'm by myself in here this morning. Or maybe some of you are just too proud to admit that there have been times in your life, a long life's journey, where you felt like God had left you out there by yourself. But I believe I got two or three witnesses in here in the turmoil, in the trial, in the crisis, when you felt like you were all by yourself. Come on, I just need two or three people that can praise God, that can say he may not come when you want him, but he'll show up on time. Oh my, we find ourselves asking questions like, how did God let this happen in the first place? His silence can be more than we can bear, and we end up feeling like a generator on overload, or a computer whose memory is all used up, and that leads us to be frustrated. I want you for just a moment to envision Job. Y'all remember Job sitting on his ash heap asking questions and getting no answers because God is silent. You can feel Job's frustration as he says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find it." Picture, if you will, Elijah. You Bible readers remember Elijah sitting underneath his juniper tree, so frightened and alone that he wished he could die. Can't you feel his frustration when God's answer is silence? Close your eyes, if you will, and remember Jesus out on Calvary's cross, bearing the weight of undeserved punishment and unrelenting pain, and God was silent. Oh, look at Dr. King at his kitchen table late in the midnight hour, trying to hear from heaven, trying to get some answers, some response, while his family is huddled up in the bedroom, fearing the threat of bombs and death, and the whole civil rights movement seems to unravel at the seams, and God is silent. We don't know how to deal with God's silence, because we are a noise-oriented society. We get up in the morning to clock radios. We turn on the television for the morning news, the weather channel, the eye in the sky, traffic reports. We ride to work listening to the radios. Some listen to elevator music. Others listen to Christian music. Others, like my secretary, like that boom shakalaka as they ride to work. We put music in the elevators so we won't be alone. We even put on background music in the malls to help us shop till we drop. Got music in the movies to help us to identify with what's happening in the movie. Y'all know there's chase music, love scene music, fight music. We are a noise-oriented society. Oh my, let's not talk about these cell phones. I almost ran clean smack over a woman the other day. She was so caught up in her cell phone that she didn't realize she had walked out into the flow of traffic. I come by to tell you today that we are a noise-oriented society, and sometimes the only way God can get our attention is to be silent. Say not a word. We come home in the evening, turn on the television for background noise. Some leave the TV on all night because they can't sleep. Amen. Let me go on and tell my story. Amen. I got Alexa in the house. I got Google in the house. And I bet you right now, if I would just say Alexa, some of y'all phones going to start talking. If I say, hey, Google, amen. And at night when I get into bed, I say, hey, Google, play some black noise. Some nights I say, play white noise. See, most of y'all don't know what that's about, but those are just, it's just, and I can't sleep without the noise. Amen. We are a noise-oriented society. And so it should come as no surprise then that sometimes God has to use silence just to communicate and get our attention. Do I have any witnesses here? Sometimes God wants us to shut up so we can hear what he's saying. And the quickest way to break through that noise barrier in our lives is for God to be silent. Y'all, he doesn't always speak with thunderous roars. Do I have a witness today? He doesn't always speak in the midst of earthquakes and storms, but he does often speak with a still small voice, and the untrained spiritual ear will not hear him. Be patient, and you will learn to hear the voice of God and more. The first thing he wants to teach us is patience. But then the second lesson that I learned through God's silence was a lesson in listening. I had to learn how to be still and listen. It's not the same as being quiet while another person is talking or holding your tongue. Y'all know how we do. Till the other person takes a breath so we can jump in and dominate the conversation. I'm talking about being silent and still and allowing the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. Have you ever felt the need to pray but could not find the words? In that moment, your line of communication was more open to the Father than ever before. God speaks when he knows that we are quiet enough to hear his voice. We've got to learn to obey the wise prophet who said, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." Through God's silence, I have learned a lesson in patience. Through God's silence, I've learned a lesson in listening, but I'm done when I tell you that the ultimate lesson I've learned when God is silent is the lesson of anticipation. We need to learn how to wait with expectancy. Y'all, if we pray without believing an answer will come, if we wait without the hope that an answer is just around the corner, then our faith is dead and our waiting is in vain. Don't you hear the writer say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is still on the throne. You may not be able to hear his still small voice or see his mighty movements, but I've come by to remind you that God is still on the throne. God moves in his own time and in his own way. My brother Willie III, amen, lives over in Houston. And sometimes when I was younger, we would visit them. And he had two sons, amen. His two sons were some bad little rascals. Yes, they were. And whenever company would come over, their mom would send them upstairs to play, amen. And as long as they were making noise, you know, they were rambunctious like boys. They were making noise. They were playing. Amen. I noticed my brother and his wife did not mind it at all. But as soon as it got quiet upstairs, my sister-in-law Renee will say, "Let me go up here because they even got quiet. Something is going on." Amen. And I have just come by to encourage somebody today to tell you, don't let the silence of God cause you to think that he's not working. Sometimes when heaven gets quiet, it simply means that God is working on your behalf. Is there anybody here today, if you're not too mean and if you're not too proud, you will praise a God who's working on your behalf? Hallelujah. It may be that he's up to something. God's hand is on your situation right now. Even though you can't see it, while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. While Job was on his heap of degradation, God already had a plan of restoration. You believe that the sun is shining even when you don't see it, don't you? Well, I've come by to encourage you to believe that God is working in your life even though you don't yet see the evidence of his mighty power. I've come by to encourage you to just wait on God, but wait with the anticipation of a faith that is rooted in Christ Jesus. Learn how to wait with expectancy, that God is doing something about your situation right now. Have you ever seen the picture of Mephistopheles and Dr. Faust? It's called, it's a painting called Checkmate. The painting hangs in a gallery in London, England. It depicts the devil sitting on one side of a chessboard, and Dr. Faust is sitting on the other side of the chessboard. All of the pieces are gone except the king, the queen, and a little rook for Dr. Faust. The devil's got him cornered, and he has a smirk on his face to symbolize the fact that Dr. Faust has now sold his soul to the devil. There are no more moves for Dr. Faust, and he is in serious trouble. The devil is just sitting there with triumph on his face, and you can hear his final word as the devil cries out, "Checkmate." Well, the story is told that a few years ago, a tour group going through that London gallery was looking up at that painting, and the tour guide was telling the group how much the picture cost. The tour guide was telling them who painted it. The tour guide was telling them what the different textures were all about, how long it took to paint it, and so forth, and the tour group moved on. But nobody noticed that when the group moved on, one person stayed right there in front of that painting and kept staring at the painting and walking back and forth. The man kept looking and looking at the painting. As he paced back and forth, the group moved further away, and they were two corridors away when suddenly they heard echoing through the halls of that museum, they heard somebody say, "It's a lie, it's a lie," because the king has another move. Nobody knew that the man in the museum was the international chess champion from Russia. And as a master chess player, he could see what other folk could not see. And he looked at the painting and he said, "The devil is a lie, because I see that the king has another move." Well, I come by to tell you this morning, Pleasant Hill, when you feel like life has you trapped, and when you feel like there is no way out, when you cry out for celestial intervention, and in your spiritual adolescence, all you hear is silence, I've come by to tell you today to rest assured, because the king always has another move. Is there anybody here you're thankful that no matter how it looks, no matter how you feel, you serve a God who always has another move? When Dr. King was murdered on April 4th, 1968, it looked like the game was over. But that was a lie, because the king had another move. When Jesus was crucified on a Friday evening and placed in a borrowed tomb, and a great stone sealed the grave, it looked like Christ's ministry was over. But that was a lie, because the king had another move. You ought to celebrate. You ought to give him praise, because when you are troubled, the king always has another move. When you are sick, the king always has another move. When you've got alcohol problems, the king always has another move. When your child is on drugs and you feel like giving up, don't give up, because the king has another move. When your loved one passes away, don't throw in the towel, because the king has another move. When your marriage is in trouble, the king has another move. When you can't find a job, when you've lost your job, when your bills are out of control.